The question here really is whether we believe this is useful. Again, I think the approach here is, on one hand, we look at the speed, and so those cycles that allow for moving at higher speeds have been distinguished from the regular cycle definition. And are referred to as speed cycles. So just the issue of higher speed. And then the other category that we refer to is the width category. And through the width, we have identified a carrier cycle. So those that will be wider than what is included in the cycle definition then fall under a separate category. And again, these two characteristics may facilitate then the usage of those categories on various infrastructure. So maybe to further clarify this understanding, last time we have been discussing considering the differences, why we have compulsory and non-compulsory cycle tracks. And then the discussion pretty much came down to usage. Certain users may actually not want to use a cycle track because it's not wide enough because of other characteristic of that cycle track. And so it's better that such is a non-compulsory rather than compulsory cycle track. If it's not wide enough, a cycle that is a cycle carrier that has a width of 1 meter maybe should not be using it. If it's not wide enough, maybe a speed cycle would also not should not belong to that cycle track. So maybe this is the perspective. This is looking through examples. We should be looking at those definitions and see whether it can be really useful. Also, maybe you know we need to have more time. Maybe we need some homework. So we have now the proposal that is formulated in this document number 3. And maybe we can agree that you take it home and discuss back home, so that possibly through the home discussions you can have arguments in favor or against, or suggestions as whether it is helpful or on contrary is not helpful for further developments of cycling in your countries. But obviously, to move forward on this, we need, I think, good arguments.